The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for joining. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today, we are talking about natural ways to detox your body. Very often, people will come in and say, I want to do this detox. And I think that there are some good, like, pill detoxes that you can do. And I'll kind of talk about what I've used and utilized. But here's what I see. Your detoxification pathways have to be open. I feel as if the reason why detoxing in general has got such a bad name is because we try to pull toxins out of the cells, but if we don't properly align that with opening up, depending on where you're at, phase one, phase two detoxification, then what happens is we try to pull toxins out. They circle around our body. We might elicit some symptoms, right? GI, headache, nausea, all the things. And then our body reabsorbs them and we're like, oh, I detoxed, I felt awful. So one, we either do a detox and we feel bad, so we don't necessarily want to do it again. Or we do a detox, we recirculate and reabsorb those toxins in our body. And then we think we did something when in reality, we're just kind of at the same spot as we were when we started off. So I think there's ways that we can look at and address the detoxification pathways and the things that we're doing. But overall, we just have to be kind of mindful. So again, I do feel like there are different capsules you can take, but in reality, I'm going to talk very minimally about that. I feel like there's better and different ways that we can do that. And so inevitably, that's what I'm going to talk about today. So before we dive down deep into that, let's talk about some news.
Dr. Leanne's Health News.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health News Now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
Today's Health in the News. Tiny shards of plastic are increasingly infiltrating our brains, study says. Now, if you listen to Maximize Your Life, I will let you know we talked about nanoplastics and all of the things. This is actually a little bit different when you talk about like microplastics, nanoplastics, but still around the same that, gosh, it just moves the needle on kind of how and what we're doing. So it talks about human brain samples. This is so interesting. These are people who've donated their bodies to science. Human brain samples collected in autopsy in early 2024 contained more tiny shards of plastic than samples collected 8 years prior, according to a posted online in May. A preprinted study, which has not been peer-reviewed and published in a journal, right? So this is all very new information that's coming out. It's not peer-reviewed yet. It's not published yet. but enough to where we get some of the information. So the concentrations we saw in the brain tissue of normal individuals who had an average age of around 45 to 50 were 4,800 micrograms per gram, or about 0.5% by weight. Now, this is coming from the lead study author, Matthew Campen, who's a professor of the pharmaceutical sciences at the University of New Mexico in Albuquerque. That increase, however, only shows exposure and does not provide information about brain damage. They talked about it's unclear if, in life, these particles are fluid entering and leaving the brain, or if they collect in neurological tissues and promote disease. Further research is needed to understand how the particles may be interacting with cells and if it has toxicological consequence. I'm just going to let you know I said that on the first time, and I'm really proud of myself. Toxicological. It's the little, I can't say the word little, but I can say the word toxicological. The brain samples contain 7 to 30 more tiny shards of plastic than samples from the cadaver's kidney and liver. I feel like that should be a big deal. The brain actually collected 7 to 30 times more than organs that are specific for detoxification. Studies have found these plastics in the human heart, the great blood vessels, the lungs, the liver, the testes, the gastrointestinal tract, and the placenta. It's important not to scare... This is, quote, and I quote, "It's important not to scare the hell out of people because the science in this space is still evolving and nobody in the year of 2024 is going to live without plastics. I say to people, listen, there are some plastics that you cannot escape. You're not going to get a cell phone or a computer that doesn't contain plastic, but do try to minimize your exposure to the plastics that can be avoided, such as plastic bags and plastic water bottles." Plastic bottles in general. The American Chemistry Council told them some of the microplastics have recently garnered headlines just the last month. Current scientific evidence does not demonstrate that the level of microplastic or nanoplastic detected in food poses a risk to human health. Blah. We'll see about that. This is one where I'm like, hi, remember back years and years and years ago where we said, hey, this is probably a problem, but we don't have all the research, but it's enough to know if there is a chemical that is circulating through your brain in higher volume, 7 to 30 times higher volume than the organs that are meant to actually pull them out, that should be a huge red flag. They say for the study, researchers examined brain, kidney, and liver tissue from 92 people who underwent a forensic autopsy to verify cause of death in both in 2016 and 2024. Brain tissue samples were gathered from the frontal cortex, which is the area of the brain associated with thinking and reasoning, which is most affected by the frontotemporal dementia, FTD, and the later stages of Alzheimer's disease, right? So based on our observations, we think the brain is pulling in the very smallest nanostructures, like 100 to 200 nanometers in length, whereas some of the larger particles that are in micrometers, a micrometer to 5 micrometers, go through the liver and kidneys. Microplastics are fragments that can range from anywhere from less than 0.2 inches, which is 5 millimeters, or about the size of a pencil eraser, to 1 nanometer, which would be about the size of a human strand. Nanoplastics are some of the most worrisome plastics for humans, experts say, because the minuscule pieces can take up residence in individual cells. Somehow these nanoplastics hijack their way through the body and get to the brain, crossing the blood-brain barrier. Plastics love fat or lipids, so one theory is that plastics are hijacking their way into the fats that we eat, which are then delivered to the organs that really like lipids, and the one is the brain. All right, we always talk about how your brains love fat. Here's a really great example how we talk about omegas. Omega-3 fatty acids are really good for your brain. Why? Because your brain loves fat. So the human brain is about 60% fat by weight, far more than any other organ. Essential fatty acids such as omega-3s are keys to strengthening performance of the brain cells. So since the human body can't produce essential, meaning it is essential to come from your diet, essential fatty acids on its own, they must come from food or supplements. Diet is the main route of exposure for micro and nanoplastics, who is the lead, here's the very long name. In that report, they talk about determining microplastics with its harm to every stage in life. Mike, here we go. Microplastics are also airborne. For example, when people are driving down the highway and their tires are abrading on the surface of the highway, a certain amount of microplastic particles are thrown into the air. So if you live near a coast, some of the microplastics in the ocean are getting kicked through the waves, right? So that's kind of where he said you can never fully escape it, but that's why today's show is about opening up detoxification pathways. Here's the ultimate big problem is that plastics are tied to cancer. So polyethylene, which is used in plastic bags, films, bottles, it's not biodegradable, was the predominant type of plastic found in tissue samples. Again, it was found in far greater quantities in the brain than liver or kidneys. Polyethylene glycol was also the predominant type of polymer found in humans and dog testicles, according to an August of 2024 study. So the main one that they're looking at is the biggest contributor is PET, polyethylene tetraphthalates, PET plastic. It is the greatest contributor to the release of the solvent 1,4-dioxane. This is where it gets kind of heavy, but long story short, 1,4-dioxane is linked, according to the U.S. National Toxicity Program, to be carcinogenic. We know and we've talked about as well how not only carcinogenic, but we know that they're endocrine disrupting, so they disrupt hormone cycles. So especially when you're looking at like phthalates, heavy metals, flame retardants, we work the hardest. So just learning how to use less plastic. So they talk about avoid foods wrapped in plastic or take it out of the plastic before you cook it. When you heat plastic, that accelerates the movement of the microplastics out of the wrapping into the foods. So they said zipper fabric bags, or there's silicone bags that you can store things in. In a March of 24 study found a one liter water bottle was the equivalent to two standard size bottled waters typically purchased by consumers, contained an average of 240,000 plastic particles from seven different types of plastics. So at our home, my kids, we don't drink out of plastic cups. We don't. They all have stainless steel water bottles. We as adults drink out of stainless steel or glass. I'm not going to give my kids glass because that doesn't solve a problem. It just creates a different one. So we don't cook anything in plastic. We really don't have any plastic in our house, honestly. I would say we have one or two containers that we have that, for example, when we go to like wrestling meets, I tend not to bring the glass to wrestling meets because, again, we have a bunch of people running around with no shoes on. And so I don't want to be the culprit for that. But what we do is we only store cold food in it. It is only for the duration of time in which I pack that morning. We eat it day of and I hand wash it with cold water. So those are ones typically recycle. And then I'll go through probably once a season. So those are ones that I don't put any heat. They don't go in the dishwasher. I use them very sparsely. And it's in times in which, like if we go to visit a friend at her pool and we're bringing snacks, I'll bring the plastic. Cause again, there are kids without shoes on. So I do not want to be the culprit of, that kind of problem. So That's where you'll see that I use it. That is the one and only time. So what about detoxification pathways? What does that mean? What are our natural processes? And we'll talk about what they are next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne.
I'm wishing you Godspeed, glory,
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today, we are talking about detox. Going through, by the way, so fun fact about that song is that it is one of my kids' favorites. We jam it out in the car all the time. Godspeed. Glory. One of the best. Anyways, let's talk about detox. Now, here is what I feel like I need to say. Is that when we talk about detox, we often think it's like a one and done, or I detoxed once. But it's kind of like health goals. I don't often feel like people have, I would like to increase my detoxification strategies consistently on their New Year's resolution or like their consistent health goals. But it's very much like, I always think it's like, imagine you have a weight loss goal, or you have like a number on the scale you want to see, or a number of terms of weights, like deadlift 100 pounds, or, you know, walk a mile in under a certain amount. There's these goals. And once you meet those goals, we don't just like stop doing all of the things. And I feel as if why the thought process behind detoxification is so heavy, if you will, like proverbially heavy, is because that the world that we live in is full of toxins. It is not anything you can 100% get away from without losing your mind. Listen, we cook really clean, healthy food at my house, but there's a point in time where I'm like, I want to go out and grab a bite to eat. And I'm going to do a healthy salad, more than likely, right? Like a girly great salad. And you know what? Maybe it's not wild-caught salmon. Maybe it's not organic greens. I try to go to places that do farm to table because most of them will be more organic, but maybe not certified. But there's a certain point where, you know, if my kids get a side, they might get berries that are not organic, right? Like there is not a point in time, you know, maybe we go and travel and we sleep on a mattress that is full of flame retardants, you know, like I'm going to stay at my mom's house who just moved in. It was likely newly painted. I don't know if that paint was VOC free. And I could rack my brain and not do anything, but I have chosen to be able to realize that I'm going to live my life and I'm going to do it with 80 to 95% greatness. And I am going to say that the things that I do, you know, again, I'm going to share with you some of the strategies I use to open up some more natural detoxification pathways, is that knowing I'm going to be exposed to pesticides and herbicides. I know that I'm going to be exposed to flame retardants and paint fumes and the things that I cannot control. The things that I can control is, do I consume over-the-counter NSAIDs, right? Like Tylenol, for example, acetaminophen. And I don't. That's something in my control. I don't use prescription drugs. That's in my control. I don't eat processed foods. That's in my control. You know, so there are some often things. Environmental toxins, though, like I filter water. We have a reverse osmosis. That is in my control. But there are other things that are not in my control. And so I cannot be hyper-fixated on the things. Same thing with my kids. I cannot be hyper-fixated on the things that are not in my control. But what I am going to do is that we are going to, myself, my husband, my kids, we are going to do things that help support our detoxification pathway. Because the thing with toxicity that I think about often is that it's kind of like a proverbial bucket. We usually don't just do one thing of toxicity that massively fills up this bucket and it overflows and tips over the bucket and we have this like disease process. But over the course of time, it becomes where it's healthy with a little bit filled in our bucket. And then we have, you know, chronic stress, processed foods, overuse of antibiotics, there's pathogens, environmental toxins, food sensitivities, use of over-the-counter NSAIDs. All of these different aspects that we're exposed to, over and over and over again. And then our bucket fills up a little bit more and we get more of a disease process. And then all of a sudden we fill up this bucket enough, it tips over, it overflows. And then we're like, oh my gosh, here's the presentation of symptoms or chronic problems or disease processes. We're like, oh, there it is. So my thought process is, what if we punch a proverbial hole in the bottom where we lessen the intake of filling up the bucket of toxicity, but then we're proactively working on getting rid of those toxins on a daily basis to one where it doesn't overflow into that disease process or developmental whatever. And that goes with adults as well as kids. You know, I was looking even with like my kids, you know, my kids are little, not itty bitty, but some are elementary school age. And I think what's different about them? Because if anything, their little body comes into the same amount, but it's even harder for them to detox from. So let's talk about some ways, our major systems, that we have the ability to naturally start opening up our detoxification pathways. The first one that I'm going to touch base on, is perspiration. It is sweating. I had a family member who got diagnosed a couple years back with cancer. And so, of course, it's like, you know, when there's a diagnosis, you know, and it's near and dear to your heart, that you are going to do exponentially more research than you would probably had it not been. And so when I was going through, like, what are the best ways to detox and all of the things, and lo and behold, sweating. And here's what I think about a lot. Oh, there was a very unique research study that actually showed that they actually looked at the sweat. Like, sweat's made up of bunches of different things. But what they did is they found trace amounts of heavy metals and pollutants in these individual stress. And here's where you think like, oh, I can sit in the sauna or do that. And I think that's in a good, better, best scenario. Yes, maybe you're sweating a little bit more, but the removing of the heavy metals, more specifically from one of the research studies, found that dynamic exercise was a more effective way at removing heavy metals from the body than just sitting in the sauna alone. Dynamic exercising means you're actually moving to produce the sweat, not just sitting in an area that's hot. Right? Which I thought, there was a study published in 2011, and the research study found that sweat is an effective way to remove BPA. And again, we talk about BPA is one of the things found in resin, in plastics. I was just listening to something recently about how these like little miniature like toys had a resin in them and they weren't cured properly. So they're full of BPA. But then too, you've got to think BPA free still has a lot of these plastics that we use. But again, they found them in the sweat. Like they looked at the actual sweat of these people. How amazing is that? And this is what your body's meant to do. You only have a couple detoxification pathways, right? Your body up, out, and through your skin. And so many times if people are going through more of like an actual true detox, not like I'm going to take this capsule because it's a liver cleanse, or it's a this cleanse, or this to that cleanse, like a specific organ cleanse. Like, we have to look at an individual as the sum of its parts, right? On a cellular level, how do we start working on that? And that's just one that you can actively do. But now think about this, right? As an adult listening now, I want a very real question to be asked. Is that if you were to say, in the last 30 days, how many times have you moved your body, gone through a dynamic exercise that created active sweat? I'm not talking about like a leisure walk when it's like humid out and like lower back sweats a little bit. Although it probably is one, not too long ago, I was grilling and it was just hot and humid out. And I was, I was like, this has got to be a good workout, right? And it was, but I was just standing there. So this is not, that's not the dynamic exercise they're talking about. Boof, I was cooking though. Here's a really interesting statistic too. A 2013 study found that sweats contain dermicidin. So it's a natural substance that can break down bacterial membranes and fight germs like tuberculosis. Researchers believe that natural substances may be more effective than traditional antibiotics because germs are less likely to develop resistance to them, right? Like exercise. But then you think about heavy metals, like when are you coming into contact if you don't have clean water or air? This was actually published, the study was published in International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health, published in 2022. Excretion of nickel. Oh, no. Oh, here we go. Excretion. They looked at. Okay, here we go. They looked at healthy young university students that were recruited. They looked at sweat samples that were collected from the participants while they were either running on a treadmill or sitting in a sauna cabinet. After they experienced continuous sweating for 20 minutes, a minimum of 7 milliliters, that's kind of a decent amount of sweat, 7 milliliters was collected from each participant. Can you imagine what it would be like to be the researcher collecting vials of sweat off of another human? And they looked for concentrations of nickel, lead, copper, arsenic, and mercury. And so what they found, they demonstrated that the sweating method affected the excretion of heavy metals in sweat with a concentration of nickel, lead, copper, and arsenic as being significantly higher during the dynamic stretch than just sitting in the sauna alone. So it's kind of interesting. Now you'll look and they're like, well, that doesn't mean you're any healthier. But if you ask me as a practitioner, if you have copper in excess, that's one of the things that elements that crosses the blood-brain barrier and leads to neurotoxicity. Arsenic, we already know about arsenic, right? Mercury, we know mercury is problematic for the brain. And we look at all of these neurodegenerative diseases and you're like, hey, do you think it's important to get some of these heavy metals out of your body? And the answer is yeah. Yeah, absolutely it is. But you actually have to get up and move. So here's your humbling, questionable, introspective point is like, when was the last time you moved your body enough to make it sweat? And if you haven't, then why? And here's what I'll tell you is that it is usually a reason. It is something that we put into play that we're like, well, you know, I work and the travel and the this and the that. I have been through seasons where I've made that up. I'm currently now in a season where my alarm is set at 4:55 every morning and I am at the gym by 5:30, right? And I'm done by 6:15. I get home. I cook the kids breakfast because we don't do cereal breakfast. So I cook them breakfast and I make sure we get it together, you know, and it's one where it's like, yeah, it's a lot of extra work. And granted, my bedtime, my husband has been trying to watch a movie with me and I have fallen asleep every night for the last 2 weeks because I realize that my bedtime needs to be earlier now. But it's just one of those aspects when you have to move your body. My kids, we have them in sports. Why do I have them in sports? Because I think that they're going to like make the Olympics or join a national, you know, league of whatever and make millions of dollars. And the answer to all of that is no. The reason why I get in is because I want them to sweat. I want them to be active. I want them to learn what it's like to have to work on the team where you have very differing personalities. I want to them to see what it's like to be coached and be coachable and learn and grow. That is why I have them as part of a team. And also now it's because why? They're probably exposed to this stuff somewhere in their life. Why would I wait for them to have a health problem for them to start moving? The secondary aspect from just in, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne. Perspiration is one. Another way to naturally open up detoxification pathways is by utilizing those kidneys. How do you do that? We'll talk more about that next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Videos, tips, deals, and more. Find Greenwood Family Chiropractic on Instagram. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Today, we're talking on how to get rid of the bad stuff. Detoxification. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Now, I do feel as if detoxification should be just a normal part of life. We talked about one through perspiration, being able to find heavy metals and toxins. The next one, too, is supporting your kidneys. Now, this is not necessarily, and I said this from the very beginning, I do believe that there are supplements that are good to help with this, but it's not like a specific organ. I feel it's, you can try to focus in, but it's more cellular detoxification, and those organs are made up of cells, right? And so when we're looking at the detoxification, it's cellularly, not just necessarily an organ. Now, you might say that sounds like you are speaking out of both sides in your mouth because I literally talked about the kidneys, but this is where I'm not talking about a supplement. I am talking about supporting kidneys with urination. So let's have a little bit of an anatomy 101 lesson, because I am sure that is what you want to hear today. Here we are. When we talk about urine, God, it irks me so much when I'm like, hi, your muscles are really tight. Are you drinking enough water? Are you drinking enough water? And they're like, no, because then I have to go pee all the time. Like, a normal body function is annoying to you. Like, when have we normalized, oh, God, gets under my skin. When have we normalized the fact that you urinate twice a day and you think that's okay? Because it's so inconvenient for you to get up to your desk and go use the restroom, or to stop in when you first initially get in and go to the grocery store, right? Like, why is it that we are not, why are there not more people? Why are there not lines out, right? Like, it just boggles my mind that we're like so inconvenienced by urination. Like, so anyways, so we drink water, and we should be drinking water, lots of clean water, filtered water, not just kind of the stage one countertop that filters out sediment. I'm talking ones that filter out the heavy metals, that filter out the pesticides, that filter out the small microns that you can't see, like fluoride and heavy metals and MTBE, which is a gasoline preservative. It's one of the functional medicine things we test for in our office, right? Those small things are not filtered off on a tabletop, like, say, zero whatever, or like a Brita. I'm talking about a little bit deeper. Oh, I just saw a reverse osmosis for renters. It was in an email somewhere. So you can do it when you're renting too. Anyways, so good water. You're drinking good, clean water, not from the tap. And what happens is it goes in and it goes through and helps all the motility, right, of your GI tract. And then your large intestine has one purpose. And that one purpose of your large intestine is to reabsorb water content into your cells, and those go through your blood, and it thins the viscosity of your blood, and then all of this other stuff goes in on through your blood too. But then your kidneys are like, man, I know what I got to do. I have a job too, and that job is to go through, and I'm not going to go through all the breakdown of the anatomy of your kidneys, because again, that's relatively boring when I talk about all of your like cortex and medulla and central pelvis and blah, blah, blah of the renals, right? Like into the nephron and bomum. So I only have a certain amount of minutes. So, but basically when blood passes through, it's filtered out. It filters out waste and excess water diffuses into the capsules. And then that excess is carried away from the tubules in the form of urine, right? So, and then that urine goes through your ureter and your bladder, and then you urinate. And that, my friend, is how your body helps rid itself of toxins. Your poor little kidneys are trying to get rid of toxins with water through your blood. But if you, friend, are only having a coffee and a Diet Coke and a soda, and you're having maybe a bottle or two of water, you are not doing a service to your kidneys. And then your kidneys have to work really hard because its job is still filtering out all of the chemicals that you're putting in or being exposed to. And your kidneys have to do all this other work too, right? Like, it has other functions as well, like release of certain hormones, stimulation of red blood cell production, supporting fluid homeostasis within the body, right? So your kidneys are hard at work. And what you're doing is you're not giving it any help to help excrete it from the toxin. So it's working and it's working and it's working. But that is how your body rids itself of toxins. That's literally what its job is. And what you're doing is making it 100% harder because you're inconvenienced by the fact that you have to get up a couple extra times to urinate throughout your day. Can we all understand how ridiculous that is? But we've normalized it as a society. Right? Gosh, it just drives me insane. Give your kidneys a little break. Yes, 80 to 100 ounces. Well, I heard, no, you're not going to waterboard yourself with 80 ounces, friend. Make sure it's a good, and I'm talking water. I'm not talking tea. I'm not talking coffee. I'm not talking, you know, bubbling water. I'm talking water. Clean, healthy, filtered water. That is how your body rids itself of toxins. You want to know the other one too, is that when we talk about how when you consume that good quality water, the other thing that your body does is it helps make the sludge of food that's going through your small intestines. So as it's saying like, hey, we're moving through, you've got to get all that food through, all that food matter. And then it goes through. So imagine if you have, this is the analogy I use. It might not be the best, but I want to give you a visual. You have two buckets of dirt. Let's call them like just the same sized buckets of dirt. And in one bucket of dirt, you put in two bottles of water. And you're like, good. Now, actively, right now, filter through all of that and pick out all the rocks and sediment. Or that same size, you can put in 120 ounces of water. So not 30 ounces of water, 120. Which one is going to be easier for you to filter through that mud to get through? The one with more water. But now we've got, so all this sludge. So imagine that like sludge that moves with 120 ounces and it's moving through your intestine. It's absorbing all those nutrients and then bam, hits the large intestines. The large intestine said, remember, I have a job and my job as a large intestines is to reabsorb water. And it's like, oh, goodness gracious. You know what I got to do? I got to work real hard to get all that. So what happens is we've got these, it starts just pulling and pulling and pulling because we have a hydration level we need to meet over and over and over again. And the problem with that is when you're not hydrating enough, you get these hard little stool pieces. And that, my friends, is what constipation is. I need more fiber. Do you need more fiber? Maybe. Because the average person's clearly not eating enough fruits and vegetables, but we're like, ugh, I'm not going to do that. Fiber one, that's where it's at. Some Metamucil, right? Let me get in this synthetic fiber to see if that's going to help move my bowels. All the while, you're not drinking any water. Oh, my goodness gracious. And then what happens is from a toxicity standpoint, that is toxic fecal sludge. That's what that poop is. Well, maybe not sludge because... that's toxic fecal poop. It's kind of a fecal and poop is the same. But right? And there's just little, these hard little balls. And that's where like, oh gosh, I'm so constipated. I can't poop. And they're like, you know what we should do? Let's use Miralax, which is polyethylene glycol. It's an osmotic gradient. It'll just soften everything. Or you know what? Like here's this and that. And you're like, people come in all the time. And they're like, so if I have constipation, what should I do? I'm like, drink more water. And they're like, no, I don't. Is there like something I could take? And I'm like, yes, more water. Because the problem is when the toxicity is not cleared through your kidneys, when the problem is that toxic fecal matter sits against your large intestine, your colon, and your rectum because you can't actively move those fecal bowel movements out, then guess what happens? We're like, oh, here, the cells are going to change. And not good change, bad change. It's called hyperplasia because it's like, oh gosh, all I have is a super toxic load sitting right next to this very thin intestinal or colon rectal lining. And so it changes, and then it changes enough where not only is it hyperplastic, then it becomes abnormal. And then those abnormal cells become cancerous cells. And that, my friend, is how they often say intestinal and colon cancers begin. It is a man-made cancer. And you're like, but what can I take? Is there a pill I can take? And you're like, no. I mean, I'm sure there is. I'm sure they can sell it to you. I just got a message about something. It was like a pill that helps you poop. And you're just like, ugh. Secondarily, what does your GI tract look like, right? Like, you really want to look at how we go through. Like, yes, excretion's one of them. You know you should be having 2 to 3 bowel movements a day. A day. We should naturally eliminate what we consumed within 12 to 24 hours after eating it. Any longer, and the digestive food becomes putrid and becomes a breeding ground for bad microbes. And then these bad microbes produce a rampant amount of toxins in our body that are destructive and actually kill the normal intestinal flora. And you're like, well, what can that cause? And you're like, vitamin deficiency. You have no idea how often when we look at like small intestinal bacteria overgrowth, yeast or candida. Do you think if you're not pooping, having like normal bowel movements properly, that bacteria is going to build up? Absolutely. Not healthy bacteria, bad gut microbes. That increases the inflammation. And then you see, hey, all of those things make it so the bacteria in the gut play a direct role in the synthesis of vitamins. Vitamin V, B, like all the B vitamins. Vitamin K, absorption of calcium and iron. So we're like, oh, my iron's low. What supplement can I take for that? Right? Come on. Your immune system. You know, our gut flora enhances the functionality of your immune system, your metabolism, gosh, all of the things, you know, but it's just such a quick and easy fix. I'm like, what can I take? What if we start? And this is one too. A lot of the times when I'll do functional medicine testing, more like the Metabolomics Plus, it looks at all of these different things. I love it because it's like the gold standard of all of the systems. And it looks at it through urine metabolites. And one of the things that it looks at is a heavy metal profile, right? This is unchallenged, but it's just what's in the urine. And what's so interesting is that we'll have all of these needs, gut, detox, supportive vitamins, and we have to support the vitamins throughout. Though that being said, one of the things that we start on is GI system. Why? Because when we support the GI system and we start killing that off, oftentimes it helps natural detoxification pathways. So even if we don't do like a heavy metal bind or, you know, a general one that has like activated charcoal and milk thistle and all the things to help stimulate the liver and look at actively binding to toxins to get rid of them, we'll do a retest and those things will get better. Even though we haven't directly addressed it. Why? Because we're opening up detoxification pathways. You know, the other one too that I feel like kind of corresponds together as well is with respiration. When the better we breathe, or the deeper that we breathe as well, the more we move toxins throughout the body. So sedentary lifestyles reduce this form of detoxification and stress and forward head posture. So the forward head posture, shallow breathing, those habits are not effective to actually moving around things in our body. We inhale, we exhale when we're looking at actual breathing. And here's what's crazy about all of that too, is guess what regular exercise forces you to do? It forces you to breathe more. Do you see how this all comes hand in hand when you're talking about like, yes, all of it, but do more, right? Like you can do a lot of the low intensity, like walking, like bicycle riding, dancing. It's all good things. But when we look at more of the form of like resistance training, burst training, those higher amounts of training, like that force, like where you go really hard and then you're like, more of like the HIIT style, like think sprinter, right? Think like sprinting style. Because again, here's the thing. We can talk about the activated charcoal and essential oils and greens powder and intermittent fasting. And obviously you have to take out the junk that you're putting in that is likely causing a lot of that. But what if we could just utilize the natural tools God gave us to be able to detox? When I tell you the amount of deep dive and research that I had done for this family member and her cancer, it was deep. And when I tell you literally the best detox that I could possibly see naturally are all ones that were there. But this family member, you know, had a super stressful job, was working 12, 15 hours a day, was super stressed, wasn't eating well, you know, chronically showed labs that were slightly dehydrated when she would go to the doctor, but wasn't mindful, didn't make a lot of changes. And, you know, I drink a lot of green tea too and all the things. And, you know, it's hard to say like what caused your cancer when it's a mixture of all of these different things, immune system. And but what if we could poke a proverbial hole in the bottom of that bucket, so when all of those toxicities come in, we have a way to actively make it so they don't overflow? You have to be mindful. You have to start today. Now, if you want to know more about how to do this, if you want to know more about testing, if you want to know just generally what we do at the office at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, you got to give us a call. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. Or schedule an appointment, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to next week. And always remember that your power is on.